Good morning, church family. My name is Josh. Good morning, everybody. Today's scripture is Ephesians chapter 4, 22 through 32, and that's in on page 1668 of your pew Bibles. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
You know, Josh is a Marine, right? Once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. And I'm trying to picture Pam as a Marine drill sergeant. Boy, you talk about intimidating. That's my fault. I'll quit. Can you picture her as a drill sergeant? Getting up in your face with that smoky bear hat, and when she's barking at you, that hat's hitting you right on the edge of the nose. Yeah. The Darcy says, I know exactly what that's like. Man, I think if she did that to me, they'd need a cleanup on aisle 5, if you know what I mean. Thanks for filling in, Pam. Much appreciated. I said it a couple times. It's good to be back. But really, really did miss you guys. I really don't get sick very often. Most of you know I was in the military for many, many years, and I deployed multiple times, which means I've been vaccinated more times than a preschool center. They give me shots for yellow fever, blue fever, green fever, tsetse fever, typhoid, anthrax, gamma, whatever it was. They stuck me so many times that I was not allowed to donate blood, and that's the truth. I'd be going and they'd say, have you had all these shots? And yep. And have you been some of these places? Yep. And they say, well, we're not taking your blood today. So I thought I was so vaccinated that there was nothing could hurt me. But I picked up the Charmaine Stewart bug or something. And I tell you, it really, it hit me hard. And I've been hacking really bad. So I do want to thank everybody for the prayers. And thanks to everybody that has made the last couple of weeks. Who am I missing? Pam. Thank you, Pam, too, for sitting in the back. And doing the, along with Maggie, too. There's more than just one person, I know, but what am I missing? Oh, yeah, Dr. Pam brought over a sack full of vitamins. And let me tell you, they worked. I'm scared to read what's on the label, but they helped out a lot. Dr. Pam came by and took care of me. If you ever get something bad, call Pam. She knows what to get, but... But anyway, you know, that being a part, it makes you realize how dependent you become on and how much you truly need gathering up like this. It's kind of like exercising for those people that exercise every day and they get into it. That day comes where you miss a day of exercising, as painful as that can be, and you feel it and you miss it. And that's what it was like, I think, for Linda and me not being able to gather up with everybody and worship together and praise God together and share His Word. That's something that we've just really become reliant on it. And it turns out we kind of like you guys a little bit too. So as big a misfits and dysfunctional as you are, you know, we fit right in with that kind of crowd. So it's good to be able to get back and be part of our church family again. And as I said, as at Pine Grove, church isn't an activity that you do. It's not an extracurricular activity that you add to the list of all these other things that happen in life. This is practice for eternity. This is what we're going to be doing in eternity. We're going to be up there floating around on a cloud, playing a harp, and singing to each other all day. We're going to be working in eternity. We're going to be working to bring glory to God, and we're going to be gathering together 7 days a week and 24/7, praising Him and worshiping Him. So what we do here is really practice for that, and I just love being part of it. It's good to be back, and thank you again for the prayers. That being gone, it really made me feel blue, and I have learned that whenever I feel blue, I should start breathing again. I wasn't gone that long. Okay, never mind. I did hear some good advice, though. Some good advice while I was gone. I thought I'd pass it along to you guys. But if you ever find yourself being chased by a pack of taxidermists, don't play dead. So, can I continue now? Oh, thank you, Carolyn. See, I heard Don didn't tell any jokes. Is that right? No. He made you guys quit cold turkey. That's terrible. All right, that's not why we're here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we just praise You and thank You for this chance to dig into Your Word, Lord, the power of life that You have written in this book. And so, Lord, as we crack it open today and as we learn Your principles, give us those eyes that really see those principles. Give us those hearts that really accept it. And we ask for Your wisdom and discernment. So, Lord, we can do more than just listen, but, Lord, we can find ways to apply it to our own lives. We ask this today in the power of Your Spirit, in the name of Your Son. Amen. Well, today, the second Sunday in Lent. And I know Don's hanging out in the back, but hopefully he can still hear me. Thank you, Don. Thank you for leading us through that first week of Lent. The intent that I still have for the first couple Sundays of this season was to really talk about Jesus as the Christ, to go back to the basics of Jesus as the Messiah, just who He is. And last week it all began with that studying the temptation of Christ, that episode of Him being led into the wilderness where He fasted for 40 days and then He was tempted by the devil. He was at His weakest and He faced this temptation. And the importance of this is in your notes, the importance of this episode is it really reveals to us the humanity of Jesus Christ, the human side of Jesus Christ. His humanity that wrestled with and faced that same lure and that same enticement of sin, just like you and I face every single day. The humanity of Jesus Christ. And if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you believe in your heart, you know in your heart that Jesus is fully God. He is 100% God. He wasn't created by God on Christmas Day some 2,000 years ago in a little manger in Bethlehem. God didn't create Him then. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through Jesus Christ. He was with God and He was God, and Jesus Christ is God today. Amen? He is God today. So we know He is fully God, but the full and that complete punishment for human sin, the only way to uphold the justice of our God, the only way to make total atonement for the penalty of human sin, that can be done is through the human blood sacrifice. Human blood must atone for human sin. And we hear about the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament, the sin sacrifices, the animals that were offered up. But folks, that offering was temporary at best. And even when we did those, when they did those, God mandated that that sacrificial animal had to be perfect. It had to be without blemish. It had to be without defect. So if only the blood of a perfect and without blemish human could pay the price for all of humanity's sins, then the only human who was without defect, the only human was without blemish and without sin, folks, that only person was Jesus Christ. The 100% human, perfect, sinless one who sacrificed himself for us. And it was his 100% human side that was tempted just as you and I are tempted. Folks, it was his 100% deity, godly side. He's fully human and he's fully God. It was that side, his deity, that allowed on him to rely absolutely, totally in faith on the power of God. It was that side of him that enabled him to release the power of that Holy Spirit through his word, through the word of God. And that's what sent Satan running at that time when Jesus was tempted. He's fully human, but he's fully God. And that's why last week's message was so awesome, because it reveals to us really that Jesus Christ, he lived this life of temptation and of suffering and all these challenges. And because he did that now, we can relate to him. He can relate to us. He can be empathetic with us. He totally understands us. He can say, I've been there and done that. And along with that, he has given us his Holy Spirit, and he's given us this word. And so now we have these things that we can use to go beyond just professing our faith in him. We can use the power of that Spirit. We can use our knowledge that we gain through the word. We can use those things to beat our sinful natures into submission and to try start living out holy and virtuous lives. And that's what it means to be a true disciple of Christ. Living out that virtue. And that brings us to today. I want to talk about one of those virtues of Jesus that should be foundational to anyone who has accepted him as Lord and Savior. One of those virtues. And that virtue is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Got your Bibles opened up? Opened up to the verses that Josh read for us. Ephesians 4:22. We teach and preach out of this thing. There's power in this word. There's life in this. If you forgot your Bible, go ahead and open up one of those pew Bibles. You learn so much more. If you read along with it, you learn even more. You take away more if you take some notes. So scribble on that thing in your bulletin today. We're practicing for eternity here, right? Everybody awake? Yeah. Turn to your neighbor, say, we're practicing for eternity. Amen. Ephesians 4:22. A little backstory here, real quick, while you're turning there. Paul's writing this letter to the church in Ephesus, and he wants the new believers there, he wants them to strengthen and to deepen their faith. The same thing that we want here. We want to strengthen our faith. We want to deepen our faith. We want to grow in our relationship with God. And not just have that Sunday only, 1 hour a week kind of faith. We want that true, real, genuine, life-giving, saving faith. Now, the first three chapters of this epistle, the very part of this letter that he writes, the book of Ephesians, Paul writes about who we are as new creations in Christ. He's reminding them of what they have become as the children of God. And Paul writes about all these different things. He says that you have now become the adopted sons and daughters. Brandon read about this morning. You've become adopted into sonship. You're now the adopted sons and daughters of God. And that you are now conformed. You're working to be conformed into the image of Christ. That you're now part of the household of God. All these wonderful things that he tells them that who you are as new believers. You've crucified that old self. And so for the rest of this book, then, as you get to chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul starts writing about, as this new creation, here is how you should act. These are the ways that you should behave. These are the ways that you should interact with each other. These are the ways that, as a professing, regenerated Christian, you should conduct yourself in your day-to-day living. This is how you should act. Everybody there? Amen? All right, look at verse 20 here real quick. Verse 20. That, however, is not the way of the life you learned. That's not the way of the life you learned. So Paul has told them something before our verses today. He goes back to remind them about what they were like before Christ saved them. He talks to them about what those who are not regenerated in Jesus Christ are like. Look at verse 17. We're going to go through this real quick to set it up. Verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, as the pagans do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Ouch. See if this doesn't sound like today's world. Verse 19. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way the life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So Paul starts talking about how you were before you were recreated in Jesus Christ. He talks about those people who have refused to accept that gospel message. He's writing some obvious stuff that anybody who's had some kind of Christian teaching in the past, you've been exposed to any kind of it, it's something we all know, and that is there are people on this planet who are going to hear that good news of the gospel, and they're going to reject it. There's going to be people out there because of their ignorance, because of their hardened hearts, because they are unwilling to entertain the life-saving truth, because of all of these things, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And I know that's harsh. But folks, that's not my judgment. That's the judgment of the one who has the final judgment. The final judge. Revelation 21:8, Jesus says, as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all the liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And I'm not trying to be scary preacher guy here. You ever sat through one of those scary preacher guy sermons? That getting scared into faith rarely works. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I owe you the honest truth from God. This is his truth. And something that's worth pointing out to all of you is that if you are human, and I'm looking, I think most of you are human. If you're human, you're going to live forever. You'll be around forever if you're human now. The only question is where you're going to spend eternity. And that all depends on how you respond to that truth of Jesus Christ. You're either going to spend an eternity in eternal conscious punishment, or you're going to spend an eternity in a place that's beautiful beyond anything you can imagine. Some place where there is no sin, where there's no death or dying or decay or suffering. And it's sad to say, but for those who reject Jesus Christ, their destiny is going to be that first location. But there's something else that I want to throw into this, something from our Bible study, which, by the way, is awesome. I'll throw a plug out for that right now. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, Pine Grove. I'm telling you, folks, I don't care how long you've been a believer, if you're brand new to the faith, if you've been around it for 80-plus years, there's such eye-opening stuff that we go through and conviction that works on your heart and helps you grow, and that's men, I'm inviting you here Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. It's good stuff. It's great. It's really, really good stuff. Try to go there. But speaking of those who are destined for hell, I want to borrow something from that that study. And that is that it's not just those people who reject Jesus Christ who are going to face that condemnation. It's also going to be the people who are self-deceived about their salvation. It's about those people who think they're saved, but they're not. And write down these verses to read once you get home. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. These are words in red. Jesus says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Lord, Lord. They don't just say it once, like he's the high priest, like he's the king. They say it twice, as in, "We know you're the final judge." "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." But only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Folks, these verses scared me into the faith. They're kind of frightening. There are folks out there who think they are Christian that are not. I was baptized as a child. I went to church many times and thought, you know, that's me. And then I truly gave my heart to the Lord. Folks, what Jesus is telling us here is that there are some people out there who have professed him as Lord that's going to be cast out. He's saying there are some people out there who call themselves Christians who will be rejected. He's saying there are some people out there, people who went to church and people who were baptized when they were kids and people who sing hymns and people who walk around with Jesus Saves t-shirts. There's some of those people that are going to be denied entry into the kingdom of God. That should frighten you a little bit. It does me. Paul writes about this in his letter to talk about false disciples. And guess what? There weren't just false disciples at this time. There's false disciples who are out there today. To borrow from John MacArthur, he talks about them. Says they're the ones who are professors of their faith, but not confessors of their sins. They're the ones who are religious, but not regenerated. They're the ones who say, "Lord, Lord," but there's nothing in their living that matches their faith. Folks, what this all boils down to is that we must add to more than just our knowledge and our familiarity of our faith, of saying we know of God. We must add to our knowledge virtue, holy and righteous living, outward appearances, outward actions of the internal change, holy living. Our lives must reflect what our mouths are professing. Our lives must reflect what our mouths are professing. Somebody say amen to that. This is what we should be doing. Folks, if we're not doing that, if we're all talk and we're not doing the walk, well, then we're no more than those proverbial hypocrites that end up driving a lot of people away from the faith. And Paul gives us some great examples how we can avoid doing that, practically how we can do this. Look at verse 22 here. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." In what? Righteousness and holiness. And here's the practical side. Here's some stuff you might want to underline. "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully Put off falsehood, quit lying, and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Don't act out of anger. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must no longer steal. Duh. If you're stealing, quit. But you must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. You notice it's all about serving others here. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk show up on your Facebook posts. That's a different version of the Bible I'm reading. Not only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. That means don't make the Holy Spirit feel sorry for saving you. Don't grieve him with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now these next ones, it's flat out simple instructions. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Does that sound like anybody? Rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Paul's given us a pretty thorough list here of the do's and the don'ts that we should be doing if we're regenerated in Christ. And folks, saved or not saved, these are pretty straightforward. God gave us all a conscience so we know right from wrong. And if you're not someone who is purely, purely evil, you understand the basic things like we shouldn't be acting out of anger, that you shouldn't be stealing, that you shouldn't be trash-talking others, you shouldn't be backstabbing, you shouldn't be gossiping, you shouldn't be offensive and bitter and brawling and slanderous. You don't have to be saved to know that these things are bad, that they're wrong. But there's one thing that's in this letter that Paul writes, there's one thing that's pretty exclusive to Christianity. There's one virtue that he gives us that wraps this all up, that helps us avoid those things that are the don'ts and leads us into those things that are the do's. Look at verse 32 here. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate. That's another way of saying love the other person. If you love them, you're going to be kind and you're going to be to them. You do that and then you'll be able to forgive them just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate to everybody. Think about somebody who's wronged you lately. Think about somebody who's maybe truly, truly hurt you in the past. I mean, really hurt you. And maybe that's happening right now. And I'll confess that Linda and I are going through something like this ourselves. We're just as subject to challenges as every other fallen sinner in this world. It's a struggle that we all face. Think about somebody who has truly, truly hurt you badly. Think of that someone. And I'm not talking about condoning their actions, but have you forgiven them? Not saying that what you did was all right. Not condoning the actions. Not saying to blow off justice when someone has done something that's truly wrong or evil. But have you forgiven them? Have you let go of that anger? And let go of that bitterness? And let go of that desire to try to get even with them? Have you let go of that wishing something bad would happen to them? And have you forgiven them? You know, that letting go of that stuff, that's for you. That's what that forgiveness is all about. And that's what that Christ-like love leads to. And maybe you're someone who says, well, I cannot forgive him for what he did to me. Got to get the head going. I cannot forgive him for what she did. What she did was unforgivable. Christian, have you thought about what you did to God before Christ saved you? Everything that you were and everything that you thought and everything that you did to your own glory, Every time that you surrendered to your fallen human nature, every time you did that, that was an affront to the most holy of holies. That made you his enemy. This is how you were before Jesus Christ. You were an enemy of God. You say, well, I can't forgive him, though. I can't forgive that person. But then we look upon our Lord Jesus Christ. We look upon this one guy who had this huge affront against him. We look upon him, and he sets aside his crown, and he steps away from his throne, and he endures this hardship and this temptation. He goes through all the suffering. He's mocked. He's spit on. He's degraded. And yours and I's sin that kept him nailed to that cross, that wasn't his. He went through all of this stuff, and still he offers us that forgiveness. And if he can do that for us, maybe we should offer up that same kind of forgiveness to others. You ask yourselves, well, you know, how exactly can he do this? Well, the answer is because, for God so loved the world. Heard that one? For God so loved the world. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. He demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love for us. So brothers and sisters, God gave us this path to forgiveness. He gave us this path to reconciliation because he loves you deeply. You ever feel like you're not loved? God loves you. Turn to your neighbor, say, God loves you. I mean, like he really loves you. God loves you. He does. God loves all of us, and it's the one thing that makes that forgiveness possible. That's why he can still love you today, even though you're still trapped in the flesh, even though you still fall prey to sin. He loves you, so he offers that forgiveness, and that is a pretty cool thing. It's also a pretty good reason why we should be showing that same forgiving love to others. So what do we do with it, right? That's what we ask ourselves. What do we do with this? Turn on back to John 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13, verse 34. 13:34. While you're turning there, I'll remind you of that one little episode between the Pharisee and Jesus. He's trying to trap him a little bit, and he asks him, Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? You all heard of this one, right? Teacher, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus Christ, he responds to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then he takes it a step further and says, the second command is just like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others. And if you're doing those two things, well, then those other commandments will take care of themselves. If you love someone, you're not going to steal with them. You're not going to have an affair with that other guy's wife. You're not going to murder. You're not going to covet. If you love God, you're not going to take his name in vain. You're not going to have other idols before him. Make sense? The two greatest commandments, love God and love each other. Now look at verse 34 here, John 13, 34. A new commandment I give you, love one another. A new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. A new commandment, which is really a further delineation of the first two commandments. Don't just love your neighbor because she's a good person. Don't just love your neighbor because he's a nice guy. Jesus says, love your neighbor the same way that I showed my love for you, even when you were an enemy of God. Love him in that way. Love each other just as I loved you, even though you were wicked and dark and sinful. Love each other, even though they may have harmed you, they may have hurt you, they may have sinned against you. Love them. You don't always have to like them, but you need to love them. That is the only way that real forgiveness is possible. Love each other. Forgive each other. Folks, that leads into serving each other. Love them. Even if they got on a MAGA hat. Love them even if they got a Harris Wall sign in their yard. I see some faces cringing out there. Love them even if they've got a rainbow flag flying. Love them even if they have truly, truly hurt you. Love them. And again, that's the only way that that forgiveness is possible. And even greater when you do that, when you show that love, that's when everybody else will see that you are Christ's disciple. That's when they will see it. And even further, it's doing more for you personally than just professing your faith, but that is leading you into these life-changing virtues. The ones that prove that you truly are saved. John writes more epistles in 1 John 3. Listen to this. He says, we know that we have passed from life to death. You wonder if you're saved? We know that we have passed from life to death because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Love each other. And folks, Jesus is our perfect example of what that unmerited love and forgiveness looks like. This is who he is as the Messiah and as the Christ. And all he's asking us to do is to try to follow his lead in love and in forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave us. All he's asking us to do is to try to love just as he loves us. So are you ready to quit talking about it? Are you ready to start developing that life virtue? Amen? I'm ready for that too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know the commands you've given us are not easy. Oftentimes, Lord, there are people who are in conflict with us. There are people who seemingly betray us. But Father, we are called to love them anyway, just as you loved us. Even though we are an enemy of God. And so I just pray that you give us the power of the Spirit to see each person as that creation in your image. They are a fellow fallen sinner in need of your salvation. So regardless of those actions that lead us into human anger, God, let us look past those. Help us to give that forgiveness that leads to that release from us. And heaps those burning coals on the heads of others, leads them into repentance so that they may find you as well. We thank you for these words today. In Jesus' name, amen.